kind of shaking, my legs and kind of shaking. You know, the weather is not like in Barahona. I got like ice, finger frosted. I'm trying, plus nervous is part of it too. So I'm kind of getting where nobody's getting here. So I want to say thank you all for just having me here. Thank you, Sam and Mary, Bill, Ashburn, and Julie. And I'm so glad to see Eric and his fiance. Also, Kristen. We love you, Kristen. And I know we're missing two more kids, and we love them also. We love John, Brian, and Quint. We love them. And I'm so glad. And Leon. Yes, and Maggie. Yeah, actually, I can see his chubby face, and I just start like crying because it's such a beautiful experience that Julie and Bill are having his first grand. And when I see him, I think I'm going to cry. It's a beautiful time for them and a season for them to see their family growing. And we look forward to see more kids, grandkids, right? Yeah, I can see that right there. So get ready, Eric, for that. I want you guys to go over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. We're going to be talking about the call to reach everyone. The call to reach everyone. Kids, pay attention because I'm going to repeat over again. Mission tips. That's what you gotta put on your notes there. And maybe you can put prayer, you can put going, you can put also down mission tips if you want to do. If you want to do just the sentence, that's fine. But if you want to do down the sentence, prayer, going, and giving would be awesome too. It would be fine for you. I know you already have them because you want to have a prize at the end of the sermon, right? How many of you would like to have a prize? Even myself, I want to have a prize. Okay, good. I also have my artist, my oldest girl with me, and I thank God for my family, Keisha and Benita. Benita is a strong woman that God has given me. It's a gift from God, my wife, and I just, guys, ask you to pray for her while she's back in Dominican Republic with my youngest girl, Keisha. Just pray for them, you know. God will take care of them, and anything will be working well back in the churches too. So, are you got it? Do you have the text already? Because I just gave you the text, but I need the text right here. Okay, I got it. We're going to read that. And I got a problem with reading text in English, because I may block the words. I'd rather speak. But I wouldn't let one of you guys to stand up and read it for the whole church. Just one of you who would like to. Anyone. Yes, come on, bring it on. Yeah, yeah, just any here, there, no problem. She wants another high, that's why. God bless you.
Okay. What am
I reading? 35 through 38.
Okay. I'll find it in mine. Got it. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields."
Thank you.
Welcome.
That's awesome. Thank you. It's great to hear the word of God and be fed by it. So the call to reach everyone. You know who start with? Start with Jesus. He was living it out. He was acting. He was working. He was serving. He was healing. He was teaching, he was doing a lot of stuff, and he was doing to reach out people. Jesus went all about the cities and villages. That was a place where people were gathered. Places, towns, villages, cities, where they were all gathered. I know there is a gathering place here. If you wanna be with people, you go over to the gathering place or the cafeteria, and that's where the people are gonna be. They're gonna be where more people are. So Jesus already went to those places because he wanted to share the most precious message, the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come. The gospel of the kingdom. He himself is the kingdom. He himself is the gate. He himself is the living water. So he was sharing what he was already having in his whole personality. He is God. The only way to the Father. He is Jesus. That's awesome. When you hear that. Teaching in their synagogues. Can you know, people were gathering places. So a place would be a temple, a synagogue. So Jesus was there. Can you imagine you going to school and praying for a teacher or sharing the gospel to a teacher? Will you be in jail for that? That's crazy in the 20th century. You know, thinking about that, but you're going to be going where God is going to be leading you. Where people are, that's where the needs are. So Jesus was fulfilling needs where he was going. In the villages and in the cities. They are the simple people of the villages. But also there are religious people in the villages. He needs to face them up with the true word. He needs to talk to them. And most of the time, the religious people, they get to be the hardest people to reach. Because they have filled their heart with so much knowledge, they're not living it out. But the simple people, it doesn't mean that they are not, that Jesus did not care for them. For the religious people, he cared for everybody. But it means the most receptive people are the people that are willing to obey Jesus. The people that are willing to work it out. Put his message and burn the calories of the message in their lives. It's like when you're taking the medicines. You're taking any candy. You want to burn it. So people are exercising the word of God in their life. Jesus is teaching us that teaching, preaching, and healing will work to change the people, even the hardest ones. We're going through this. The teaching of Jesus will work a transformation, a metamorphosis in the life of the people. You know, that's why. He needed to change the life of the religious. He needed to change the life of the simple people in the villages. But one thing he used was teaching. Is anybody here is a teacher? Amen. You're using the word. You're using your life to change the kids and the people's life. That's what it is. That's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching the people's life with his message. The message will work changes in those who are unchangeable for us, but not for him. He is the one who is able. And the word of his words are enough to change anyone here and out there. Even like the Pharisees, that they were religious people. Sometimes we say, well, nobody's going to change that person, never. Let me tell you, God has the power. If he resurrected the third day, he can resurrect a dead person in 1 minute for eternity. You know what I'm talking about. Teaching is a type of seed that can grow today and tomorrow, meaning the future, You know, some people or adults had come to the Lord because of their parents planted the seed of the gospel by teaching the Bible stories when they were really kids, when they were really young. Healthy teachings of the Word of God will produce healthy believers in the Word, will produce healthy churches in the future. You know, that's awesome. The healthy teaching. I'm so glad the Lord has brought Pastor Bill. I'm so glad that you've been loving him. But this man really cares for the healthy doctrinal teaching. He loves the Lord and in his words. Preaching. We go over through the text. It said that Jesus was preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is the place where people need to go. The King of the Kings is preaching about his kingdom, and he is the only one that knows well his kingdom. This gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, will avoid us from falling into the prosperity gospel. Yeah, just the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom will make us humble. It won't get us in a pride mode. He will humble ourselves. Because the gospel of the kingdom, the one, the king of that gospel, and the king of that kingdom humble himself for us. So it will get you humble. It will get us humble as church, as individuals. The King of Kings, Jesus, was humble. The gospel. You guys know this? When we talk about kingdom, we also talk about ruling. Who rules the kingdom? God. He's going to rule our life. And he wants to rule our life. I'm reading some of these because it's hard just to... But let me... Give me a couple more minutes. Maybe 3 hours and we'll finish. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will exalt and praise and glorify the King of the kingdom here and up there in heaven. Are you ready for that? Just to listen and to go through the gospel of the kingdom. Wow, Jesus not only was teaching, preaching in his ministry, but he was also healing in his ministry. You know, I believe in the power of healing of God. The power of healing of God. Some people think, I believe in the power of healing, but they don't mention God. So God is kind of like, they have something with the power, and they get the power from their pocket, and then they just play their hands, but they forgot about God. But that's a God thing. It's not a man thing. Every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 35. If you look back over Matthew 29:29, you see Jesus healing according to the people's faith by his power. It's awesome. Jesus, in some occasions, in some moments, he did not wear any perform miracle at all. But some, because of their lack of faith in him alone, Jesus can heal with his power any people as sovereign as he is, whether they put faith in him or whether they don't put his faith in him. You know what I'm talking? He can do that even if they don't show any faith. And he can do that even if they show faith, because he's got a purpose for everything. Jesus can do anything. In pain and in illness, we can know Jesus also deeply. I think getting rid of the pain and the illness is like getting rid of our experiences that we're living as human beings. But God can use our pain and our illness so we can get closer up to Him. My father got saved when he was going through pain. And I bet some people, that's the only way they can meet up with God. So, pain is not about thin. And illness is not about thin in God's hands. It is a door so we can be with God. So we can know the real Jesus in our life up in heaven. Some people have rejected Him in their healthy life, in their healthy stage. But when they get over to the illness stage, that's when they meet Jesus. So God can use all of this for His glory. And they will experience Jesus as the only healer, as the only healer. But they will experience Jesus as the only Savior. When you pray for someone, ask His will. Because His will could be, I'm taking this kid up with me. Or, I'm healing him. Or, I'm going to let him go through pain for a couple of years. Can Jesus do that? Is it possible for God? You've seen people. We want them to be alive. But it's not up to us. It's up to Him and His will. So, we go for the next one. The call to reach everyone, guys. I know. It continues with the attitude of Jesus. If you want to reach someone, preach, teach, and bring the word of healing of Jesus Christ. And let God do His work. So, and Jesus felt something very important in His heart that our church and our people need to feel. Compassion. What a great attitude of Jesus Christ. You know, to be able to see the needs, you need to be an observer of people. That's how you turn to be more acquainted of their needs. See, observe the people. The only way you could see what they're lacking of, what they're having, whether they're having too much. See and observe them. Observing people will lead you to know their needs. Look upon them. Look up them with such a heart that the compassion of Jesus will flow toward these people, even though they are going through bad conditions in their life or in their sins. See, observe. And what are you going to find when you observe? You're going to find these things that Jesus have seen in the people. Fainted ones. You're going to see scattered ones. Condition of sin, our natural sin, nature of sin. And they will be walking or going like sheep, having no shepherd. That's how we see. So when you want to reach people, when you're reaching out people, that's how you're going to see the people. You're going to see the people with the heart of Jesus, of compassion. Looking through Jesus, seeing with Jesus' eyes, that's what you're going to be seeing outside. When we see, observe, and feel like Jesus, we will understand from where He, Jesus, has gotten us by love and mercy and grace. And we will be able to treat faint ones and scattered ones with the same love and grace the Father has treated us in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are experiencing the same compassion that Jesus has already experienced. And isn't it great? Wow. When we see, observe, feel like Jesus, we will understand and update our hearts into the need of the people out there, and you will see There's so much work to do in God's field. When we observe and feel like Jesus with compassion, it will bring you to an evaluation, assessment on the base of our understanding. That are few pastors. Yeah, you can see. You have a cosmovision of this. You see, because when you see like Jesus, you feel like Jesus, you see that there will be few pastors consecrated, committed, that's the word, committed fully to God, walking in holiness, serving God with all their hearts. And you wish to have more pastors because you're having a cosmovision of what is going on. You see, oh, this church needs a pastor, or you know, this area needs a church. Oh, you see, we need a missionary here. Oh no, look at that. In that class, we need a teacher. So you will see. The only evaluation you're going to have is when you're feeling like Jesus, seeing like Jesus, and you'll be comparing everything what's going on around. You're going to have a full view. And you're going to be aware, spiritually aware. And the only thing that will lead you to meet the needs of the things that you're aware of is by praying. And when you start praying, God can put you in a place where you can meet the needs, and God can use you to change the people's life right there. Praying. You will have a cosmovision of the reality of the lost in the world. You know what is a cosmovision? Am I saying well, Pastor Bill? You're not translating anymore, no problem. Okay, you will have a cosmovision of the community church you will live in. You will have a cosmovision of how much we need to do to accomplish the task of preaching and teaching the gospel to all. A cosmovision without compassion won't get us far. A cosmovision without compassion won't get us far. A cosmovision with just action and no compassion won't get us too far. A cosmovision with action and compassion will get us to accomplish God's task. Wow. Jesus wants to reach it all. But we need to work in our heart. We need to let Him work in our heart. A call for people to get involved is this, through the verses. You know, can you go through verse 8? You're there. God is calling people to get involved in the transformation of people's life. But they have to be transformed first so He can work in somebody else who's never been transformed by His grace and His love. So we need Jesus first so we can present Jesus to the lost one. How can we be part of the plan, God's plan to reach everyone? Verse 38, we can be part in God's plan to reach everyone by praying. By praying. Does it say pray there? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Let's find this out. Let's break it out in parts or debrief it. When we pray, we acknowledge the sovereign of God. When we pray, we acknowledge the sovereign God. Why I say that? Because He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the labors. And He is the Lord of the field. So, there's nothing mine. Everything is His. So He's sovereign. He's got control of everything. He's the Lord of the labors. He's the Lord of the crops. And He's the Lord of what? Yeah, the field. That's neat. So he's the Lord of everything. God owns the harvest, and the harvest is not ours. Does God own your life? Your life is not yours. This life is not. I'm just living it for him. And it's not mine. It's his. He granted it to me. So, he is the Lord of everything. When we pray, we get an intimacy with God, and we will respond our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know, which are his wills. Call unto me. We are gonna see things happening when we call unto God. When we pray, God will call, lift, and equip the laborers. We're praying to someone who's under control of everything. He owns the laborers. So he will do what he pleases the most and bring the most glory to his name. So when we pray, we align ourselves to his will and put in an entire disposition our will to his will for his sake and for his kingdom. When we pray. You guys, we're talking about praying, right? Do you guys pray? Do you want to align yourself to his will and your mind, your heart to his heart? We can see this. He's the Lord of the harvest, and we pray to the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the one of the laborers, and he sent for the laborers. Going. He sent those who are going on the mission field. He sends those who are going over the next door church is about to die. He sent those who are needing a teacher so that he can be a teacher, or they can be a teacher. He used prayer folks here. Some people are having trouble to walk, are having trouble to talk. But you never have trouble to talk to God in silence. You can pray. I met a guy who couldn't walk. He said, I can't walk to the church. He gave his life to the Lord. And I said, I'm going to assign you one job, one ministry. I need you to pray for me. You don't need to go to church. He gave his life to the Lord. He couldn't move. He was far away from. I say, this is going to be your ministry. Pray for us. Pray for the word to be spread. Pray for the people in your community. And pray for someone that would come and share the word with the people around. And now you're in ministry. That's good. When we pray, giving to his kingdom, not only going to those areas that are unreached areas, not only going down there, but also giving. Giving is hard, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And you think that everything belongs to you. That's what I thought one. And I was not right. It was God's. Even the pennies that I have is his. The shoes that I'm stepping on is his. I don't want to say anymore, because I start with the shoes and I finish. But everything is his. There's no way I can say, God, no. I would be ungracious to him. Ungracious. I will not please him when I say no. I will not please him when I say no. I need to say yes. Because everything I own, right, I'm stewarding. Stewardship, it's his. It's not mine. Even the last breath, I'm getting there from him. That's hard to think about this. Because we tend to hold on things. We tend to say, this belongs to me. And at the end, it was not mine. I was just a steward. It was his. So, if there's any missionary God is calling, remember, anything here is yours, is his. There's nothing here for you. Everything is for his glory and for his plans. If you've been thinking about what you got more than what you can give to him, remember, everything is his. If you're thinking about what you can get for you, say, I'll get it for his glory instead of my glory and my pride. Yeah. Think about that. Giving for the kingdom is awesome. Some people move from one spot to the other with nothing in their hands. All they have is their life. There was a little kid, just came up after a preacher's sermon. And the preacher was telling the congregation, you gotta give it all. And then there was a little plate, offering plate. And this kid heard the message. And he said, well, thinking, I have no money. I have nothing to give to the Lord. So, but the preacher was telling about the stewardship and everything. This little kid just came up. He was like coming from the last pew down there. He just was like that. Everybody was looking at him and said, what is this kid going to do? He was, may I use this? He was, the plate was there. He got this and put his whole body inside the plate. So I'm going to give it to the Lord. This is my whole life for him. God is the God of the money, but he's the God of your life. You cannot make money without lives. There's no way. You say, I am his. Think about that. You are his. You belong to God. There's no way you can escape from that reality. You're his. And he wants to use you. By praying. By giving. But he wants to use you also by going. Going. I know I'm from Dominican Republic. And I think you can notice that, right? In my language. And my daughter. But let me tell you. There are many places you can go over here. There, people are very receptive to your testimony of how God changed your life. They will listen. They will make a decision for Christ. But don't forget about those who are around you. They also need your testimony. Your witness. And God can use you to change your kid's life. Right from your house to the outside. Not from the outside to your house. It is hard for me because as a missionary I can focus outside more than in the inside of my house, my wife, my girls. It is easy for a missionary to lose focus and thinking about a job outside instead of thinking about the job inside that will bring glory from the inside out to the people. And I'm so amazed when I see kids pastor just worshiping with their parents in the same church and seeing them singing like I've seen. I mean, I cry from time to time when I see Addis, but she does it from her heart. I don't have to push her. She goes it. She does it. And God wants us this way. Just do it from the bottom of your heart for his glory. May nobody have to push you to do things, but we have to tell you to do it somehow, right? Because he has put us here in a spot where we can lead you. No, we can force you. The one who's going to be forcing you after this is the God of the harvest, the God of the labors. If you're a laborer, he's going to be talking to you right now. He's going to be telling you, hey, you need to give. Hey, you need to go. Hey, you need to pray. Hey, remember, you are mine. Let's pray. Thank God for this time. Father, you call us to do your will. And I love when Jesus pray, may your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh Lord, these angels are ready for your command. And we're just simple creatures, rooted in our sins, and think we're better than anybody, even better than you. I'm sorry, God, for that. The picture of angels coming down and serving and following your command is the picture that you want us to hold. That as soon as you speak to us, we can do what you're calling to do in a hurry, in a taxi way. We want to be part of how you're transforming the harvest and reaching out the harvest. It doesn't mean that you have not control of the harvest. It means that you want us to be part of the word that you're doing out there for your sovereign. And you want us to find joy in your will. Thank you, God, for calling me as a pastor and missionary, and for giving me such a beautiful family. Thank you. And thank you for bringing all these people to listen to your word. God, this is not by chance that we came here. You brought us so we could be part in your mission transformation in the people, in the transformation of the heart of the people. But start with me first. Break my heart. Transform it. If you don't break it, I won't feel pleased. I won't feel that I'm pleasing you. And I would do a lot of things wrong, Lord. Please transform my heart and use me to transform other hearts. Use me as a vessel that people can find you, people can grow in you, and people can be used by you. Thank you, Jesus, for First Baptist Church of Mount Ida, for their mission heart. Because this mission heart is growing in their life. Mission minded. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.